Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's One Last Thing. We have a good episode for you because the Ravens are in a position. They have a chance to win a football game on Sunday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers and go to the playoffs. So we thought we'd get the whole crew together for what might be the last episode of the season, and that's Sean Asher and Brad McGowan, along with me, Ken McCusick, to talk about what are some of the reasons that the Ravens might be able to make a playoff run here at this point. And I don't think it's too early to be talking about the playoffs because I think this is actually a playoff game on Sunday night, and we're going to treat it as such. But Sean, Brad, thanks for joining us. Hope you had a happy new year.
Pleasure to be here, Ken.
Yeah, excited for this one. Happy New Year, everyone.
All right. Well, Sean, start us off, buddy. What is your first reason for positivity?
Yeah, so for me, the big one is Derrick Henry involvement in the Green Bay game. Harbaugh made no bones about it that that was an oversight in the New England game and that Derrick Henry should have been on the field. And that was rectified this week against Green Bay. So having him, you know, even though it's kind of a necessity with Huntley being in as opposed to Lamar and Lamar's hurt, you know, there's kind of a need for Derrick Henry to be more involved. They still didn't make any boneheaded plays by pulling him out in crucial situations. And, you know, the rotation was kind of what all Ravens fans would hope to see with how good Derrick Henry is. And I understand that they want to get Rasheen Ali snaps, especially in pass protection, because he's, you know, pretty solid at that. And he's been doing a great job at that. And I understand they want to get Keaton Mitchell the ball because, man, he can make anybody miss just with his speed, and bad angles happen so quickly with him. But, you know, the bell of the ball here is Derrick Henry. And last week we saw that, and the old adage of he gets stronger as the game goes on, like we saw that this past week. And I'm excited to see that moving forward, and hopefully they continue to use him as the bell cow.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Henry said after the game, this is what he's built for. 2 years ago, after the Ravens suffered the Kansas City defeat in the AFC title game, when they failed to run the ball, they went out and signed Derrick Henry for a time such as this, and we are in Derrick Henry season right now. And the other thing, if they can lean on him, the other thing this will really benefit is the time of possession, which, Ken, you've harped on this week in and week out, how badly the team has lost the time of possession battle, primarily throughout these games, running so few plays because they can't stay on the field, they can't stay on schedule. And if they can lean on Henry down the stretch in this Pittsburgh game and in the playoffs, that will just bolster the offense dramatically.
Yeah, Henry, snap count is the factor I really point to all the time. I think it's actually much more important than time of possession, because a play gets run in an NFL football game in approximately the same amount of time. So in terms of the rest that a defense gets on the other side of the field, it's similar. Time of possession is key when you're running the football, when you're figuring out how much of the remaining clock can you get rid of to try and win the game. So it's important for that. But snap count, if you're trying to tire the opponent out, is the big one. Henry's been marvelous at that. You know, it was a combined effort this last week, but I think the offense gets a lot. In the successes recently, it's been a combined effort when they've had it. But the 74-44 win is almost all offense. I mean, the defense allows a big plays. The offense basically converted 30 out of 33 first downs into either a first down or a touchdown. They had a kneel out to end the game. They had two field goals and one punt. So that's the 2019 Ravens offense right there. And it's nice to see that with Derrick Henry and him being as effective as he is. And we all had some element of the run game that we went with in our thing. But Brad, you're up next. What's your element of the run game that you really like for this?
Yeah, to your point, Ken, we all harped on the run game. And what I specifically wanted to call out that gives me optimism is the way in the Green Bay game, they were able to dominate the point of attack like they hadn't been able to do all season. And this was something the offensive line did successfully last year. The Ravens were the number one team in the league last year converting in the red zone. And this year they've been abysmal. And we've, throughout the season, we've remarked at how, you know, something that's been very frustrating to me is that when they get in these fourth and third and short situations, they cannot create any movement off the ball in the offensive line. And they have big guys. Fa'alele is a very big guy. Voorhees is a very strong guy. They have really mobile guys, but they haven't been able to put it together. And in Green Bay, we saw a team that played at the point of attack with much more ferocity than they had throughout the regular season. And frankly, reminded me a lot more of the team last year. And the offensive line is similar as it was last year. Swap in, Voorhees is the new kid on the block. But, you know, this is his second full season where he's been on the active roster. He's got a lot of reps. And so if they can get back to moving guys at the point of attack, I think that's going to bode well for both the amount of plays they run, the effectiveness of Henry, giving him a little bit more optionality in what crease he hits. And that's just going to be tremendous going into the postseason. Now, what I want to say about this week in Pittsburgh, they are going to have a much stiffer test facing the Pittsburgh interior defensive line, especially with Derek Harmon back, than they did against Green Bay, who was much depleted in the front seven. That being said, if we can see them be aggressive at the point of attack and create those creases, that will bode tremendously well for their possibility to go on a run here in this game and into the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree, Brad. I think one of the coolest things we saw in Green Bay, as you alluded to, was the correct utilization, or I don't want to say correct, but utilization of players in plays that we were really happy with. You saw our athletic guys, you saw Ronnie, you saw Linderbaum, and you saw Rosengarten pull. And that's what we want those guys to be doing. We want them to pull. And then you saw a lot of Daniel Fa'alele and Voorhees do that pin technique where they're, you know, trying to get on the inside or the outside shoulder of a defensive lineman to seal that edge and get the other guys pulling around. And we saw a lot of that in Green Bay. And if we can continue to do that, man, the sky's the limit for this offense.
Yeah, I think one of the things along the line of the offensive line improvement being something that could help the Ravens go pretty far in the playoffs. First of all, they've rediscovered something I think is at the heart of what they do. And I'm going to get into that in my point, but if you're talking about the improvement of the offensive line generally, three of the five offensive linemen had played a lot better since the bye. That's a long period of time. One of the reasons I think that's significant is that the Ravens have had tremendous offensive line continuity again this year. Whether you like the players or not, they've all played together for the whole season. They've reduced their penalties. They've had a good second half across the board. Now, Fa'alele is slightly off in the second half, and that's obviously disappointing. And Voorhees is probably slightly off as well in the second half. Now, neither of them has completely fallen off the table. And I did go back and look at some of the previous years and how many times there was a D or an F for a lineman. And there's some substantial totals in here. Like John Simpson, 2 years ago, when John Simpson then went off and got a big contract, had 9 Ds during the year. He didn't have any Fs, amazingly, but he had 9 Ds. So he was fairly consistent. He's actually very similar to Fa'alele in terms of that. Fa'alele's been a little bit better, but nobody really put the kind of significance into the penalties that the Ravens had, and that's an area where they've been good. And I think the other thing is the point I'm going to get to in a moment, which I think I'm just going to pivot to right now since it's my turn to go third, is that the Ravens have rediscovered the Romanesque offensive identity they had. And, you know, think of all the vitriol that went with Greg Roman going out the door. That's exactly what this team needed to get back on track in this exact point. They played the Green Bay game with 2.19 heavies per play, their highest total of the season. they move to a much higher percentage of power runs as opposed to zone runs. And that's been with the blockers that the Ravens have being elephants on parade, they just give the opposing team too many chances to penetrate the line of scrimmage, I think, with zone runs. They've been much more effective in the power game, and they look great doing it in this last week. It kept the offense extremely low variance overall, keeping up with the sticks. You got much better chances for short gains involved in there. If you look at Huntley's passes individually, I mean, every one of them was basically looked like a good run play. I mean, his passes with ball out quick were for 6, 7, 7, 1, 5, 8, 6, and 10 yards. If you have your run game do that, you know, you'd be thrilled with it. You know, I just think the low variance is going to be something that can help the Ravens in the playoffs. I am cognizant of the fact, by the way, Brad, that they're going to be facing a much more difficult opponent with Pittsburgh, and an opponent that knows how to play them, as opposed to the Packers, who I don't think the Packers really had it marked how they would deal with Huntley or how they would deal with Lamar. And that's been generally the case with NFC teams. But I think that in particular, the Steelers really know how to play the Ravens. And that said, we saw what the Ravens did to them in last year's playoff game, and they're perfectly capable of doing it again with this sort of running game and the offensive line they've got. So I'm very optimistic that the Ravens have found something that they can build on, whether or not they could be as successful as it as they were against Green Bay.
Yeah, in the first Pittsburgh game, at the beginning of the game, the Ravens were T.J. Watt was killing them, scraping down the line and hitting Henry in the backfield when they would leave him unblocked, anticipating that he would have to make a decision at the mesh point. Instead, he would crash down and get Henry in the backfield. And that their offense was unable to stay on schedule early in that game. Later in the game, they adjusted, and they had either Ricard or one of the tight ends picking him up as he crashed down, which gave Henry a little bit more runway to get going and was more effective. And so, you know, they're going to need to be able to contain Pittsburgh's edges and create lanes at the point of attack. One thing that was incredibly successful last year in the second Pittsburgh game and into the playoffs is Pittsburgh really struggled with the mesh point. And they gave Henry a lot of room because they were really respecting Lamar's ability to pull the ball and run. Baltimore is probably going to have to be able to demonstrate early in that game Lamar's willingness to run, if Lamar plays, or Huntley's willingness to run in that option game, so that they do have to respect that choice. Because, Ken, you know, you're going to love this. Like, there's nothing more that I want to see than Derrick Henry with a head of steam taking on Patrick Queen in the hole. Yeah. And I would put my money on Derrick Henry 10 out of 10 times in that scenario. In fact, Pittsburgh signed Malik Harrison as a way to deal with Derrick Henry. They drafted Harmon as a way to deal with Derrick Henry. Malik Harrison was concussed in that early Pittsburgh game on a hit trying to bring down Derrick Henry. We're not rooting for injuries, but you know, we're excited that Derrick Henry is on our side.
And I'll just say really briefly, I don't want to see Patrick Queen hitting Henry in the hole. That's where he's got an actual chance. I want to see Patrick Queen run himself away from the hole because of the misdirection that the Ravens offense shows.
Yeah, I think my point, and Sean, I'll turn it over to Sean, but my point is, you know, Henry coming downhill, you know, Patrick Queen makes his splash plays when he can trigger and he can react and he can trail and he can do the flash thing. If he has to meet Henry in the hole over and over, you know, hopefully it's a few yards down the field, but I think over time, like, we'll wear him out.
You're on mute.
Sean, you're on mute. Sorry.
There's two things you guys said that I want to put a little bow on for the listeners. One, Ken, you brought up that last week was our heaviest per play average of the season. Fantastic. That's what we want. Brad, you talked about how we brought in Ricard and we brought in, I want to say Boyle because he's been blocking.
Kolar.
Kolar. And that helped with TJ. And man, if we can keep that going, like, this is, we're set up for a good path here. We're really set up for a great path. So my next point that I really want to dive into, I've been screaming for it all season. Active listeners know this is not the first or third time I've brought this up. D-Hop's involvement, man. And I don't know if last week it was a game plan or if it's, you know, it's Huntley as a backup quarterback. And as the backup quarterback, you know, like, hey, I'm going to get the ball to my playmaker, and that's D-Hop. But the more involvement D-Hop has gotten as the season has progressed, the better this offense has gotten. And he's looking as close to Anquan Boldin as anything we've seen in this Ravens offense since Anquan Boldin left. And if there is a crucial down or a crucial time where you need yards, you need a play, one-on-one coverage, throw the ball to D-Hop, put it up, throw it, see what happens. The man has made some incredible plays. And last week, it really seemed like it was either a point of emphasis or Huntley's mind was already made up when he saw single coverage. I'm going to D-Hop. But it worked out, and I want to see more of that.
Yeah, I think building off of that point, Sean, I think what I would say about that is I think, you know, Huntley as a quarterback reads the progressions a bit differently than Lamar. I heard Coach Evans say this on the Vault podcast this week, that he thinks of Huntley as going from low to high, taking the check down first or the open route first. And maybe, you know, that lets him get the ball out. But, you know, as it relates to the Ravens offense and the point you made about D-Hop, I think one thing that I have thought this season is they have a lot more playmakers than they've had in the past. And this season they've struggled to get everyone involved, and they've lost, they've run far fewer plays because they can't stay on schedule. But to your point, I think they do have these playmakers they can rely on in the playoffs when they need them. And that gives me a lot of confidence, especially with someone like D-Hop, who is such a security blanket for the quarterbacks when they need to make a play.
I think there's two ways, at least, that D-Hop can help the Ravens. And the first is by being outside the numbers when the Steelers or any other team, you know, thereafter goes single high against the Ravens. Then you get a one-on-one matchup for D-Hop, throwing the ball up for him. You get the savvy veteran, high contested catch rate, high penalty drawn rate that you'd hope for. And hopefully, you know, he's a good defensive player too when he needs to be. You know, he needs to knock that ball away, knock it down. The other thing we saw was against the Bengals in week 15 was we saw versus a crowded line of scrimmage early in that game, the Ravens make two plays that basically got the Bengals to back off. And the one was a 32-yard play to Hopkins where it was just a basically an immediate slant with the ball out. I think Lamar actually moved slightly to his right to make the throw, but in either case, it was a great answer for a crowded line of scrimmage. The other one was that little screen pass to Ali where they got the ball just right over the initial rush and had them largely in the backfield overcommitted, and Ali ran it for collected the pass and ran for 30 yards after the catch. Those are both outstanding line of scrimmage beaters, and it's something the Ravens have really needed. I hope they haven't lost any of that. The Packers really backed off against the Ravens. The Patriots, I have to look back again to remind myself of exactly where they were on that spectrum, but the Ravens didn't have Lamar in that game. One of the potential things, if Lamar's not completely healthy and comes back, and I kind of don't imagine he is going to be completely healthy, then, you know, it does mean you have to have an answer for a crowded line of scrimmage. So D-Hop is one of the guys who can really help with that.
Yeah, that leads me into my next point, which actually it doesn't, I'm pivoting to my next point. Something that I'm really happy about and excited for come the playoffs is the chance to see Wiggins shake off this Green Bay game and return to his CB1 form. We've talked on and on about Wiggins this year and how he has really come into his own as the Ravens' lead coverage corner. They've moved him around a lot. They've let him shadow some top receivers. He's been asking for that assignment, and his yards per target is very solid this year. I think before this Green Bay game, Ken, you were saying it was under 6 yards a target. Yep. It's just over that from this past game where he just looked off, and I'm hopeful. Oh, you want to make a point about that?
6.6 yards per target now. He gave up 18% of the yards he's given up the whole year in that game against Green Bay.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. So, but I think, you know, what I'm what I'm looking for as we play Pittsburgh. It should be a good get right game for Wiggins. They're going to be without Calvin Austin. Well, possibly without Calvin Austin and certainly without DK Metcalf. And hopefully that will allow Wiggins to reset himself so that if the Ravens are successful this week, play good defense, they do make it into the playoffs. Wiggins is back to his CB1 self come playoff time, and we can rely on him to lock down, you know, part of the field like he's been doing all season.
Agree, Brad. I am very much looking forward to seeing a bounce back from Wiggins. And also, you know, when I looked at the when I went and rewatched the Green Bay game and the New England game to look for reasons for optimism here, you know, one of the things that kind of stood out to me was it didn't really seem like Wiggins was in a spot that is normal Wiggins play. Like, it seemed like everybody, even Marlowe, all the corners are being told, or I assume being told, just don't lose this game. Don't let anything behind you. Give the cushion off the line of scrimmage and keep everything in front of you because our offense is going to win this. So, like, you know, just don't get beat over top. And it seemed like that's really not Wiggins' style. Even coming into the NFL, our biggest question was like, okay, he is in Trail a lot and he has the athleticism to keep up with Trail. And like, is that going to translate? And so far it has really translated really well, where he's able to stay in that pocket. But for Wiggins to be giving so much of a cushion and then, you know, he bites on a move or a turn, it's just not really his game. You know, it doesn't suit what he's best for. It doesn't suit what he's done his entire career in Baltimore so far. So I'm very much looking forward to a rebound and his continued dominance.
You know, it wasn't a good game. There's no way to paint it into being a good game from this last week. He got beat on a sluggo route by Melton. He got beat down the left sideline in a kind of Brandon Stevens-esque fashion where he didn't find the football. I'm still optimistic. You know, he's one of the guys, if you have a player, you're playing well anyway with him a little bit off his top form. I think that is a reason for optimism. So I think that Wiggins returning is good. I am of the opinion now that he should just stay on one side of the field and do that. And depending on what they decide to do in the playoffs, you know, it could be that Wiggins being at left corner or right corner might be appropriate based on what my next point is going to be. And you've already had your second, right? Yeah, you did D-Hop as your second, right? So I'm pivoting into my third right now. And that is, I think the opportunity remains right now for the Ravens still to take a big swing for a change on defense. Now, they haven't done that really. They did it in terms of the acquisition of Gilman and moving Hamilton up to the slot corner. That was a huge swing in one direction. They've made some adaptations otherwise that have been the best they could do with the personnel they had. Largely four nose tackles active for a single game, which is just, that's absurd. Three is absurd, but four is even more absurd. They've really gotten value out of Travis Jones. Talk about him a little bit later, but they found ways to stop the run more effectively by having this four nose tackle and Urban group out there. I do believe that's what we're going to see, by the way, against Pittsburgh. I don't think they'll go with four defensive linemen. It's too much of a risk. And the Steelers, too much of their chance to beat the Ravens would be in running the football, shortening the game, and breaking tackles with their both Gainwell and Warren, who are pretty good at it. So I think we'll continue to see that. But the big change hasn't happened yet. And the next big change, if they chose to do it, which would be like the 2012 offensive line switcheroo. For those of you who are a little younger, 2012, to start the playoffs, after not doing this for the season, Bryant McKinney was inserted at left tackle. Michael Orr, who'd had a terrible season at left tackle, was moved to right tackle. And Kelechi Osemele, who was a rookie at the time, was moved to left guard, where the Ravens had a big hole. Ramon Harwood had played a lot there that year. Ja Reed might have seen some action there too. But anyway, they had some players who weren't that good playing left guard, and Osemele was fantastic in the playoffs, and McKinney was probably a little bit. Every day, companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything: data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Better than Orr had been. And Orr was better at right tackle than he'd been at left tackle. So it really, it helped the Ravens probably at all three positions. The opportunity for that this year is with Humphrey. Humphrey has had a terrible year at corner. And we don't need to talk about whether or not it's injury related or not yet. I think Humphrey in his current injury state can probably play strong safety. If he did that, a lot of his very portable skills would be immediately of value to the Ravens. I don't think Gilman has played particularly well since he got here. He's missed a lot of tackles, and that's a problem at safety. Humphrey has a tackling issue, but he's a much better ball hawk. And I think you also get him out of the cornerback spot, which another place to get him out of the cornerback spot is just to bench him and play Awuzie. But the waterfall effect of that affects the Wiggins call that you were talking about, Brad, is that maybe now that provides us with Awuzie at right corner and Wiggins at left corner for the rest of this, whatever the Ravens play the remainder of the year, which, you know, obviously is all playoffs as far as it's concerned. But I think that is their chance for a big swing and a big change on defense would be to move Marlon to strong safety basically right away.
Yeah, the Ravens have been very loyal to Marlon throughout the year, and he has been consistently the weakest link in the secondary. That being said, he's also made a lot of their splash plays, and most of those interceptions have come on the kinds of plays that he could make at safety in off-bracket coverage or catching a deflection or pivoting off of his man to read the quarterback and make a play on the ball. And so, you know, the point you made earlier in response to my Wiggins point about keeping Wiggins on one side, something that is a bit curious about the Ravens' defensive choices this year is, coming into the season, we've remarked how the Ravens don't travel their corners. And by and large, historically, over the last several years, they've played, Wiggins on one side and Stevens on the other side and just left it that way. And this year they have flip-flopped a lot. And if you look in at the safety, they flip-flopped Gilman and Starks. And there have been a lot of coverage breakdowns. And so you would think if they settled the secondary and just picked sides, it would possibly help communication going into this this stretch run here. And so I would be all for them leveraging Humphrey in that regard. We talked a couple weeks back, Ken, you and I, on one of the One Last Thing episodes of bright spots that we've seen this year. And one of the ones we had was the play of Awuzie. He's been one of PFF's top 10 rated coverage corners all season. He seems to be getting healthy. The Ravens have managed his snaps very well to keep him healthy and well going into the stretch run. And so they could really rely on him on the outside and put Humphrey in a better position to take advantage of the kinds of things he does well now.
One thing I'll add to this, I love this idea, Ken, for multiple reasons, and it'll transition into my last point for optimism as well. We traded for Gilman. It was a need. He filled the need. It's been okay, and we're right. He's missed a lot of tackles. the one idea that I like about switching Marlin for Gilman is when Gilman misses, it's a big whiff and it doesn't slow a runner or yak down. It's just a big whiff, and it's not a momentum slowing play that allows for rally tackling. What Marlin does when he misses tackles is he gets out physicaled, but he definitely slows down momentum of ball carriers significantly most of the time. So if Marlin's still going to miss some tackles, or, you know, he's the broken tackle, he's still slowing the offensive player down. And is that enough to help us get more people to the ball to, you know, stop potentially? So I like the idea of that. I also like, and this leads to my next point, is that, you know, we're healthy and we're pretty healthy going into this playoff, you know, quote unquote playoff. This is a playoff game by all conversations. But, you know, if I had told you guys in the beginning of the season, you have two options. One, we don't know who's going to get injured, when or how long. Or option two, our current state, our only big players that aren't going to play, or that are on season-ending IR, are Madubuika and Teddy Buchanan. I feel like both of you would be like, yeah, I'll take that. If that's the known, I'll take that for sure. So those two guys being the only ones that are, you know, major contributors, maybe you did expect Teddy or maybe you didn't, who knows, but the only major contributors that are on season-ending IR right now. And we just got back Washington, and we just got back Tavis. So this is a pretty good time to be headed into do or die with the current health of our team. And we saw Washington and Green Bay, you know, there was one play he gave up, he undercut the route. And, you know, I don't know if that Achilles recovery or if it was just play speed and he hasn't really gotten back up to 100% yet, but he made the right decision. He was in position to get that. It was just this, you know, half a split second that he didn't get the pick going for the other way for six. And that's the kind of play that we want and need headed into these do or die games.
Yeah. The health of the team is about as good as you could hope for going into a playoff run. We severely miss Madubuika, but they've been dealing with that all season. And so by now they have, you know, Ken, you made the point earlier, they've gone with this very heavy defensive line rotation and it's been successful in stopping the run. You know, they've lacked in the pass rush, but getting Tavis back the last couple weeks has been a boon to the front seven, and having Ardarius back has given them some juice, both in the practice field. They mentioned this on one of the recent broadcasts, how he's brought a lot of juice to their practices. And again, it gives them a bit of versatility to deal with some of the coverage issues that they have had on the back end. And he was tremendous down the stretch last year. So having the health that they have, again, you can't really ask for more, especially when you look around the league and you see some of the other playoff teams that have very, you know, very terrific seasons, but are limping in from a health perspective into this, you know, critical postseason stretch.
So as they go into this game, I'll concede immediately that the Steelers, with their combination of health and suspensions and Rodgers, you know, not playing with the left arm and whatnot, you know, no Darnell Washington, all of the things that are basically wrong with them, they're trying to force everybody onto the field. I have to, like, suspend my optimism in this particular case, because all of the Ravens' problems haven't really been Madubuika. Yeah, they've missed Madubuika. It's been the difference in Lamar's play with his injuries that he's played through that has been the biggest difference. I've you know, done a fair amount of work on this before and after the injuries, particularly in week four. Completely different quarterback. He's an MVP quarterback before that. He's at an 86.8 quarterback rating since he's come back. That's not Lamar Jackson. And that's not the worst thing, has been his passing. It's been, you know, the lack of misdirection in the run game. And again, for the Lamar lovers out there, and I'm one of them, we're not blaming this on Lamar. Like, the injuries are what they are, and you know, they've had to work through this. But Lamar's not the same player this year that he's been in past years. That's a simple truth. If that were to suddenly miraculously, you know, take a great leap forward from where he was 2 weeks ago, I would be ecstatic. But for right now, I'm suspending my optimism on that particular point. And I'll just hope that he's gone from, you know, 65% Lamar to, you know, maybe my over-under is about 75% Lamar to get more availability of that read option.
That can your comments there lead me into my last point, which actually is optimism for a healthy Lamar. And what I would say about that and why I am hopeful, we're recording this on Thursday, January 1st, and Lamar returned to practice yesterday, which by all accounts, he looked pretty good. He wasn't limited in practice. He had a full practice, which is very exciting for his chances to play Sunday. In the New England game 2 weeks ago, when he did suffer that back injury, prior to that injury was the best he had looked since week one from a health perspective. I mean, he looked that first couple, those first couple drives, he looked like 2024 Lamar. And 2024 Lamar is one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen. It only rivals his 2019 season when he won his first MVP. So, you know, again, we're basing that off of 12, 15, 18 minutes of football, and he did suffer a pretty severe injury. But the injury he suffered in the New England game, a bruise, is not, you know, if he can come back from that, it's, you know, he got more rest for his legs that had been bothering him all season. And so I'm going to hold out a little bit more optimism. I understand, Ken, you want to be cautious about this, but, you know, I think, you know, honestly, for Baltimore, the Lamar that we know and love is the biggest thing this team can get going into the playoffs that would give us hope. And I'm going to hold out some optimism for that.
I agree. One of the reasons, I guess, or one of the injuries that were limiting Lamar all seemed to be lower body, right? We had a hammy, then we had a knee, then we had
toe,
right? And it's all impacting his ability to run. It's all impacting his ability to get mobile, start moving, move the pocket, and even just pure running, you know, point of a point, mesh point, and decide whether to take off or not. You know, if your hammy's hurting and, you know, you're not 100% sure, you're more likely to give it off. And, you know, to Brad's point, in New England, it seems like, okay, maybe all these lower body injuries are done. Now, the back and the knee to the back, man, my back hurts all the freaking time, and I'm not an athlete, and I'm not taking a knee at that speed into my back, so I don't know how that impacts moving forward. But man, if Lamar is 70-80% of what he was, and is all he's dealing with is the back, and we got to get through one game before we're back up to that 2024 level type of Lamar, man, I'm excited, very excited for that opportunity.
I'll just say, I don't think 2024 Lamar is coming back in 2025, even though we kind of saw a very high level of play in the beginning of the New England game before he went out. I'm a disbeliever in that. I'm not a suspension of belief. I'm a disbeliever, but I do think that, you know, it's it's 50 shades of gray in terms of how significant his ability needs to be to run the read option. He needs to prove he can run for significant yards. I mean, we saw, frankly, some things from Snoop that were outstanding in that regard, both in terms of keeping off the read option, but especially on those two QB draws, which I just love. Lamar, you know, in some ways, the antennas are up, so you can't really boot with him the same way you could with a Huntley, or certainly with a Flacco back in the day. You could get away with a lot of booting, and it would go unnoticed. With Lamar, everything is laser focused there, and they have to be convinced that he's a threat to run in order to run people out of position in the way the Ravens will hope they do, whether it's inside linebackers, whatever cover guy it is on the outside for the potential of him being a keeper, whether they want to keep Watt in that role some, whatever it might be, or Highsmith, whoever it might be on the edge to do that. So anyway, I'm hopeful. I'll go into this. I certainly hope we see 2024 Lamar again. I'll believe it when I actually see it. That's what I'll say about it. Let me move into my last point here, which is the emergence of Travis Jones has been a remarkable metamorphosis these last few weeks. Since really the contract's been signed, he's played the best football of his career. He had a game with 8 pressures. He had another game with 5 pressures this last week. He's consistently commanding double teams. And now I think he's even given the Ravens options going forward that are really interesting. So, you know, he's came up as a nose tech, and the Ravens always used him as a player on the nose who would be, you start your pass rush from that point. He's always going to be blocked by a guard in a center, or as typically that's going to be the case. But now I think he could move. If the Ravens, the Ravens have the option to draft a 3 or draft a 1. And if they drafted a nose tackle, then I think that Travis Jones ends up becoming a 3 technique on downs where those two are playing together. And that's really what's happened with John Jenkins and with the Ravens, plethora of nose tackles they have. They've used him more as a 3 tech. He's the only pass rusher as a defensive lineman they have on there on passing downs. They go to a rush nickel, or one where they bring in Simpson as kind of a roving pass rusher. But it's always only him in terms of an interior defender that they'll use. And what we've seen in the last 3 weeks has just been ridiculously good. My only concern about it is overwork, but his level of play is out of this world right now.
He's been terrific. I think, Ken, on one of the preview pods you and I did, we had a scenario of what going into this season, if the Ravens, with their big offseason moves they would have to make this year, how would we stack them up? And I remember suggesting a contract in the 12 to 15 range for Travis Jones. And I said at the time, I was like, I would run that contract in right now if you could get that done. And lo and behold, because of a snafu, they got a contract in that range done, which is mm-hmm. incredible to think that they got that done. And, great for us, bummer for him and his agent, but we're happy and thrilled to have him in Baltimore. The point that you made, you made this point a couple, maybe it was earlier in the week on the defensive review, but this idea of going forward, if, God forbid, Matabike can't come back, having Jones as the 3 tech and getting, a 1 tech to go alongside him and using him in that role, that got me really excited because, as you mentioned on that episode, it's a lot easier across nose tackles in the draft and in free agency, and they don't cost nearly as much. And it's been really terrific to see Jones, who has flashed dominance in the past, but has often dealt with nagging injuries. He had a nagging injury early in this season, but to have him sign that contract and then immediately produce as if that contract is way underpays him for what he's putting on the field, that's been terrific to see, especially when you compare it to contracts the Ravens have signed in the past to only have, God forbid, someone get injured or underperform. And just, he immediately is overperforming that contract, and it's been tremendous as we, head into this final stretch of the season.
Yeah, I'm glad we're all giving Travis Jones his flowers. It's one of the very few guys in the last 5 years that pre-draft have been pounding the table like, no, we need this guy, we need this guy. And when we drafted him, I was like, this dude is going to be a playmaker. And for him to be able to come in and do what he's done with the injuries, and the versatility is just incredible. The opportunity to line him up in various different spots. And one of the big things that I'll point to is when Matabike went down and we were trying to struggle to figure out where this pass rush was going to come from, everyone was screaming Peebles, Aeneas, like, get him in the game, get him in the game. And he didn't, he got in, he got some opportunities, and, didn't make a huge amount of difference one way or the other. And, we're not begging for Peebles to be in the game anymore because of Travis Jones's versatility. So, is it quite Matabike's replacement that we've, when the injury happened? No. But is this the glaring problem with the Ravens anymore? No. And it's because of Travis Jones and what he's been doing this season.
All right, guys. Great talk here, and lots of optimism entering this postseason, which no doubt about it begins here in week 18. So any closing thoughts from you guys on maybe what you'd like to see this week against the Steelers?
I got one. And we were talking about optimism for Lamar, and I'm gonna throw it back to you guys and say, be more optimistic, because none of us saw Joe Flacco lighten it up and going 18 touchdowns and zero interceptions in 2012. None of us saw it. So for me, all of the things that we've talked about are reasons that, like, hey man, it just takes one game to get it right and follow the script, and you can win. You can win it all. So I am super optimistic that this could be the year. Is my heart gonna break like the AFC Championship game if it's not? No, but I am super optimistic that there are enough dominoes on the table that could fall our way for us to make it this year.
I mentioned this earlier, but this is the year where there aren't the juggernauts that you're used to seeing in the conference. In the same way, you have some really solid teams that have come on, and you know, the playoffs are always going to be difficult. You always have to deal with good quarterbacks, but it does feel a little bit different this year. As a fan, it's been such a curious year. And you know, this is probably a conversation for the off season, but you know, I've been thinking as we unexpectedly have this hope going into week 18 that we didn't anticipate after last week. As a fan, we've had such an up and down experience this year, which is much different than the previous Lamar years where they've steamrolled good teams throughout the season. And it's just been so bizarre. And, you know, I'm just happy for this chance to have meaningful football going into the last week of the season. And, I don't have high expectations, but to Sean's point, I do have some hope and optimism. And I think, as we discussed, there are reasons to be optimistic about this team and the chances as we move forward. So excited for that.
All right, I'll lay it out one different angle here, is that the Ravens have 5 playoff games where most of the other teams in the league have only 4. Some have only 3 that they need to win, you know, the 2 number one seeds. We don't know who those are in either conference yet, do we? But In terms of the Ravens, they certainly are going to have to win 5 ball games. They're going to be favored in the first against Pittsburgh, and they have about a 63% chance to win this game if you believe the money line. Slightly less than that if you look at other simulation models, which don't like the Ravens as much. I think if you look at the next game against the Texans, they're going to be a very slight dog at home, would be my guess. By the way, if you look at the Texans board, they don't want to face the Ravens. They want no part of the Ravens after what's happened recently, even with the win earlier this year. Wherever they go after that, I would liken to the 2012 season and just say, in 2012, they went to Denver as 9-point underdogs. They won that game, the Mile High Miracle. Then they went to New England as 7.5-point dogs, and they won that game with the incredible 21-0 comeback in the second half, where you know, Brady and Belichick had never lost a game where they led at halftime before at home. And the third was the Super Bowl, where there are 4-point dogs. They won't face anything nearly that bad in terms of that third, fourth, and fifth playoff games, in terms of what their chances are to win those games. So I think overall, their chance this year to win the Super Bowl is probably about as high as it was in 2012 at the start, with the one extra game. You have to factor that in, that the later games will probably be less difficult to win, but they have to win one more. I think there's legitimate reason for optimism here. I think the Ravens probably have about a 4 or 4.5% chance to win the Super Bowl from where you stand right now.
All right, so you're guys, saying there's a chance, Ken.
I'm saying there's a chance. Hey folks, a great doing this whole season with you guys. I've really enjoyed it. And you know, it's kind of nice to have a couple of different voices in the room and whatnot, as always. I hope we can keep this going. I think we'll see where this fits in the playoffs, whether or not we can make this, you know, be a show that we can make sense about and keep going. Also appreciate the listeners big time. Thank you for everything. We'd love to get some hashtag film study mailbag questions. If they're appropriate to this show, or I think they're of large enough scope, they might become one of these entire shows. Otherwise, they'll become a video. They'll go to the offense or defense pod, or they'll go to Friday Morning GM. A lot of them go to Friday Morning GM this time of year, and certainly that's going to increase during the off season. But Brad and Sean, really appreciate you. Tell folks where they can talk football if you wouldn't mind. Start with you, Brad.
Sure, I'm MC Bradley on X, and you can always find me there.
I'm on X as well, at BMORE underscore sky, SKY underscore high, HIGH, be more sky high.
All right, guys. Other folks out there, thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on One Last Thing.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.